I recently went to see the movie 12 Years a Slave, which tells the true story of Solomon Northrop, an African-American free man from Saratoga Springs, New York, who was kidnapped in the 1840s, transported south and sold into slavery. The movie painfully and graphically recreates the cruelty, brutality, and inhumanity that he and other slaves were forced to endure. I spent much of the movie flinching, turning my head aside, covering my eyes, because of the constant beatings, whippings, and lynchings that were an everyday reality for African Americans, along with the emotional and spiritual trauma of parents having their children torn away from them, sold to, and carted off by other slaveholders. I also spent much of the movie asking myself, how could this happen? How could we be so inhumane and so uncaring about other human beings? There is no easy answer to the question, of course, especially since we continue to find multiple ways to debase and dehumanize our fellow human beings. For all of its faults and flaws, I continue to cling to the church because it constantly calls us and points us to a better way. The 20th century Italian mystic and activist Carlo Coretto expressed it this way: "How much I must criticize you, my church, and yet how much I love you. You have made me suffer more than anyone, and yet I owe more to you than anyone. I should like to see you destroyed, and yet I need your presence. You have given me much scandal, and yet you alone have made me understand holiness. Never in the world have I seen anything more compromised, more false, yet never have I touched anything more pure, more generous, or more beautiful. Countless times I have felt like leaving you, my church, and yet every night I have prayed that I might die in your warm, loving arms." Where else can I go? Where else can we go? Where indeed? I've been thinking about these things the last few days, not just because of my profound disappointment and disagreement with recent steps to condemn and punish those in our denomination who would conduct same-sex weddings, but also because I've been filling out a conference-required form called my clergy profile. Some 25 to 30 or more questions designed to help the bishop and district superintendent understand me so they can figure out what to do with me. At this stage of my life and ministry, with most of my career behind me, what matters most to me now is not what others think of me, but what I and God and Christ think of me. Given on the questionnaire a chance to brag, the question was this one: what experiences in ministry do I find especially worth celebrating? Given a chance to brag, I swing in the totally opposite direction and realize once again how often it is the little things, the quiet moments, that matter most, both in ministry and in life. Here's what I wrote. When I look back over the years, what I remember and celebrate are not great, grand, personal achievements, but everyday experiences where God's light and love shone through. Persons who came to know God's love, peace, healing, joy, even in the midst of struggle and hardship. Congregations that did their best to be Christ-bearers to each other and to the world. persons who lived their faith every day, everywhere. Congregations that welcomed me, cared for me, helped me to grow. The opportunity to live a rich, varied, interesting life. Friendships that I have found both near and far. A denomination that, warts and all, is bigger and better than we often realize. That's the story I see when I think about my life in the church. A story that revolves not around numbers and statistics, but around lives transformed, hearts broken wide open, forgiveness offered and forgiveness received, courage found, justice proclaimed, love and faith rising from the ashes. I thought of those things again this past week as we bid farewell to our friend John Swords. Only recently did I hear the story of how John and his brother made their way to this country from Germany. The year was 1943. Germany and all of Europe were already at war, and the U.S. too was preparing for war. John and his brother had managed to secure passage on the last ship scheduled to leave Germany. At the last second, however, the German authorities froze bank accounts, meaning that the already paid for tickets were no longer valid. A little German Methodist church in the heart of New York City heard what had happened, and at a board meeting, the pastor, with the other leaders of the church gathered around, the pastor took out his wallet and put $50 down on the table. Remember, 1943, $50 was worth something. Put $50 down on the table and challenged the other leaders. Do what they could to rescue those two young men. They did it. And they did it for others as well, including German Jews, all of whom they found a way to bring out of Nazi Germany to the safety of these shores. When I think about Isaiah's vision, the holy dream he paints, I think not just about some unknown day in the future, but I think about what we can do right now to walk in the paths of righteousness, to walk in the light of God, to beat our swords into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks, just like that little church in New York City's East Village. The Apostle Paul reminds us that all that we have hoped for, all that we long for, is closer now to us than ever before. And in light of that, we cannot spend our life simply passing the time, measuring the days in carousing and drunkenness, but are to do our most to demonstrate our faithfulness and holiness to the coming day of God. We begin the season of Advent, looking forward not simply to the night of December 24 and the day of December 25 and the family gatherings that will ensue. We begin by looking forward to the fulfillment of God's ancient promises and the renewal of our commitment to live in the light of those promises. How will you spend these weeks of Advent? How will you prepare your heart and soul to birth Jesus once more? Pushing aside all those other to-do lists, how will you make ready space in your life for the only one who can bring us the fulfillment we long for, the peace we wait for, the joy we jump for in this world and in any world we can envision? I invite you this day to come in a few moments to the table of Christ, with an opportunity for you to begin again and to find a way for yourself in the midst of the busyness of this season to walk in the light of God and the peace of Christ. Amen.